This is Scott from the Delicious Agony Progressive Rock Radio, and I'm talking to Greg Massey from KO Dot, formerly Maldon of the Well. And how you doing, Greg, tonight?
I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah. Great set, by the way.
Thank you.
And I wanted to ask you, first of all, where did you get the names for Maldon of the Well and KO Dot, and what do they mean?
Well, Maldon of the Well initially came about, I guess both names actually kind of came about with a way of trying to express in the title, or kind of give a description. Well, initially Maudlin was for, you know, describing the music a little bit, you know, because we kind of started out as a doom death metal band, and Maudlin, kind of the word Maudlin kind of lends itself to that very well. With KO Dot, when we decided to change the name, when we were kind of just forming a new band, our intention was to get away from that, to get away from a name that automatically gives the listener an idea of what the music is, because we wanted the words to stand alone, so that when you listen to the KO Dot stuff, it's kind of like, well, you associate that music with KO Dot now, instead of having a preconceived notion. So, you know, in one way we were doing the normal kind of band thing with Maudlin, trying to describe our music with the name of the band. With KO Dot, we're trying to get away from that and try to try to get people to come into listening to us with fresh minds.
Okay, why'd you want to do that, though?
I mean, it was a number of different reasons. One was, after we finished the last two Maudlin albums, when we started writing the material for our new album, we noticed it was very different, in our minds at least, from the Maudlin stuff. And by the time we started recording it, we had lost a bunch of our band members from Maudlin. So we were working with, there was a lot less members in the band. The music was different. We moved to a new label. It just felt like everything was new, and it just felt like a new band, you know. And now we have, you know, half of the band is completely new people. So, you know, it just seemed kind of natural to have a new band name.
Okay. What does KO Dot mean, though?
It doesn't have a specific meaning.
No meaning. You have band members from ThoughtStream X, is that right, now on the band?
Yeah, Forbes, our trumpet player, used to play in ThoughtStream.
Okay, cool. What are some of your influences musically? As far as just generally, and also progressive rock?
Generally, we all come from different backgrounds. Myself personally, I'm probably like more the metalhead in the group. You know, listening to Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Dream Theater, Genesis, I guess for the progressive rock.
Genesis.
Rush. Rush.
Rush.
I'm going to name drop all the
I hear you.
Name drop all the different bands I own.
Other than progressive rock.
Other than progressive rock, yeah. Too. I mean, obviously a bunch of our members went to Hampshire College. Youssef Lateef taught in the area, and a lot of them took classes with them, and they got a lot of influence from that too. I mean, all kinds of different stuff.
Yeah.
Esoteric, this doom band out of England, who's really awesome, or Kane, would be maybe another lesser influence, maybe, because we started listening to them last year or whatever. But all around, just a bunch of different stuff.
Okay, you guys are known as a metal band, but can you explain to the listeners, you have a lot of other stuff. You go into classical, and you guys, you push genres. okay, maybe not particularly jazz fusion. But what brought that about, and why do you do that? And what do you have in the band?
In the band, it's just, I guess growing up, you know, we all were pretty much into the metal scene. But after you listen to metal for a while, you kind of realize there's a lot of stagnation.
Mm-hmm.
And in the instrumentation, you know, there's a lot of bands who just kind of stay the same after a while with their sounds and everything like that. And so we just kind of came into it really wanting to experiment. From the very beginning, we always wanted to experiment with, the ambient clean parts, do different things vocally than other bands were doing. And really what it built up to with the newer stuff is just trying to create music, thinking of our music as more of a classical composition, instead of writing a song verse chorus verse, we wanted to get away from, you know, we don't try to show off our technical chops or anything like that, if we have any.
You do.
You know, we don't try to too. We're not in it for that. We just want to make, you know, music that we feel is very unique and interesting to us, and hopefully other people will listen too. And I know a lot of different bands say that, but you know, it's something that.
But you're crossing different genres. I mean, with this style of music.
We don't necessarily set about saying we want to go touch into this genre and that genre. I mean, maybe, you know, when we were younger, that was kind of thing. It's, oh, well, let's go into this, you know, jazzier part, or let's go into this classical part. For us, we just try to imagine that there is no different genres on it, that it's just our own genre, I guess. I hope that doesn't sound too pretentious, but we're trying to make it so that it's, you know, our own sound. That's what I think a lot of bands go for, and something that we're working towards. I think we're getting somewhere towards it, in my opinion. But
yeah, exactly. I mean, there's nothing out like there, really. I mean, that I can hear, at least that I've heard. So, who does the lyrics in the band, and how does that come together, and how does the writing process for the band come together?
I mean, it's kind of changed. Before, the lyricist is not someone who's in the band. Our lyricist is our friend named Byron, who actually was the original one of the singers in Maudlin of the Well. He doesn't really want to do music anymore for himself. I mean, before, you know, pretty much Toby, our main singer, guitar player, he writes the basic skeletons of the material. And he just writes the music, for the most part. In the past, he's written lyrics, but for this new album, he just wrote these compositions. He went and rehearsed with Sam, our drummer, and got the drum parts ready to go. And because we recorded the album in a different way than most bands. You know, we don't record, like, take out a month of time in a studio and devote ourselves to that. We were recording, you know, maybe one weekend a month every 3 months, or maybe a couple weekends a month, you know. So over time, we got the basic sketches down, and then we were able to, each other band member was able to come in with their own parts and contribute. You know, I'd come in and put down my solos or lead parts. Nick, our guitar player, actually did the bass parts for us on the album. Our old keyboard player, Taryn, did all the keyboard arrangements and some of the other instruments, like the saxes and the trumpets. And, you know, we just went in the studio bit by bit and just put something new down. You know, someone had an idea, try it out, if it works, put it down. You know, and got some session musicians at the time to play the different stuff, you know.
Ruining.
And so
I guess. Can't ruin the interview.
And then yeah, ruin the interview. Sam, I'm looking in your general direction. And then after the initial compositions are written, like I said, Byron, even though he doesn't do music anymore, he's a prolific writer, and he had written a bunch of different poems, like 20 or so poems, and Toby took the poems and went to the music and saw, you know, to see which lyrics matched with the song, and that's how we went about putting the lyrics together. It was completely separate from the music.
Okay, as your band has moved over time, I mean, you started out with My Fruit, Psycho Bells, A Sea Combustible, Bath, and Leaving Your Body Map. Are these concept albums or no? I mean, how are...
Psycho Bells was not a concept album.
Okay.
Psycho Bells was just... at the time when we had gotten signed, we had about 2 demos worth of material. We had like 20 or 30 songs or something like that. And so we just picked ones from those demos and remixed them, remastered them, and we took certain ones, and that was the first album. Second album was kind of a concept album. You know, we just got rid of all the other songs from those demos, reworked some of them, put in a few new ones, and that was, we had enough for a double album. And it wasn't really a concept album in the strictest sense. There's no story or anything to it, or characters.
But music-wise?
Music-wise, there was some continuity between the two albums. We had themes that were present in certain songs in each album that were the same. There was some other, you know, concepts. Our lyricist, Byron, was really into the Kabbalah and the Golden Dawn, those kind of spiritual practices. And so he put some hidden things in the lyrics and in some of the symbols that we used. And even for the music, there was a tuning that we used on the guitars for certain songs and we put that tuning written out in music notation in the booklet as kind of a to tell you that those were the songs. Some of the, those songs had something that was tied into the, to it as well. I mean, there's a bunch of different things to tie together, and I really don't even understand it all.
Right.
It was kind of explained to me later.
Is it a spiritual band in some ways?
I guess maybe a little bit. I mean, Byron was really the one who's doing all that.
Yeah.
Everybody else, I mean, I can't really speak for anyone else.
Right. Understood. Now, your new CD is called Choirs of the Eye, and that's K.O. Dot, which is now the regeneration of Maldon of the Well.
Right.
And great CD, by the way.
Thank you.
And I want to give the listeners the website so that they can check you guys out, because you have a new website now. It's www.ko.net.
Yes.
/ Mm-hmm. And on there, they have audio samples of Maldon of the Well and K.O. Dot, etc. They can find out where to purchase the CDs, which are all excellent, by the way. And I'm really honored to be able to talk to you tonight, and great set tonight. And anything else you want to tell the Delicious Agony listeners?
Hi.
Hi, and buy the CDs, because they're genre-bending great stuff. All right, I want to thank... Genre-bending, excuse me. Excuse me. But anyway, I want to thank you, Greg, so much for the interview tonight.
Sure,
a great
no
set.
Problem. Thank you.
And good luck with the future with K.O. Dot.
Thanks.
Hope to hear more from you. Anything you guys are working on right now? Or just pretty much touring for the CD? Or?
Right now, we're just our main priority is just playing gigs for the K.O. Dot CD. You know, some of the different band members, I mean, we all have little things we do on the side, but, I mean, nothing that's going to be... nothing to look forward to for a little while.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll get to working on some new material maybe later on this year.
It's going
to
be K.O. Dot there, probably.
Probably, but yeah. I mean, who knows?
All right, great. Well, Greg, thank you so much for talking to us tonight.
Sure.
Have a good night.